Okay, we're starting. Face time.
Ready to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ who came into the world to save sinners. We're all sinners. We all have to recognize that and come to terms with it. Because Jesus came into the world to save sinners like you and like me. Jesus came so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. This is a message that we need. This is a message we must embrace. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. That's what we have here. The good news. Do you know it? Do you love it? Because if you don't, there's going to be a whole lot more bad news. Because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to have Jesus Christ as our Savior from our sins. The reason why there's bad news is because of sin. And as I just said, all have sinned according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all the same boat. There's not one of us any better than anybody else in that we're all sinners. We're all in the same position as sinners. And so I come as a fellow sinner to tell you about the good news that I discovered through Jesus Christ the Lord, that is life transforming. Well, Jesus makes a promise that he gives life and gives it more abundantly, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. He delivers on his promise. Unlike politicians that you typically listen to, Jesus delivers on his promises. I've seen people who were once alcoholics are no longer alcoholics because of Jesus Christ. Not because of AA, not in some kind of rehab program, but because of Jesus Christ that they've been delivered. So I've seen Jesus deliver. I've seen people who were drug addicts are no longer drug addicts because of what Jesus did at the cross. And that's why I want to share with you. You may wonder, how does that happen? How is it that Jesus can save me from my sins and deliver me from the wrath to come that is hell forever? But Jesus did it. He did it by going to the cross. He did it by paying the penalty that was necessary. Because the scriptures tell us that the wages of sin is death. We're not talking about just physical death, but we're talking about spiritual death. A spiritual death is a death that involves a separation from all and every one of God's blessings. And that is a place called hell. Yeah, people don't want to talk about that, but that is, you got to get to the point to where you recognize the bad news before you can appreciate the good news. The good news makes no sense without recognizing the bad news. That we're sinners and we're headed for hell unless we believe on Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, your Creator and my Creator, and your Savior if you believe on it. If you don't, he's going to be your judge. And you have to stand before the judge of all the earth, and that is Jesus Christ, because under him all judgment is committed. So we want to share that good news that Jesus came and he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That was according to the Old Testament scriptures. It's according to the gospel accounts. Jesus fulfilled those scriptures, which is a miracle in and of itself, in that those testimonies, those prophecies that went out years and years and years ago, centuries before Jesus fulfilled in Isaiah chapter 53, he fulfilled that. He fulfilled Psalm chapter 22 when he died on the cross. And the fact that people have been trying to take away the Word of God and disprove it, get rid of it one shape, way, shape, or another, and yet we still have it preserved for us today. And we have a great country in which we live in because of Jesus Christ. He's afforded us the opportunity to be in this land. But I'm afraid that unless we repent of our sins as a nation and as individuals, our freedoms are already being taken away little by little by little, are going to be taken away because there are those who are trying to bully people into shutting up about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be determined, if you're a believer, to not shut up, but to speak up. Don't let the liberals and the Satanists and all these other false religions try to make you shut up. They're not shutting up. We need to speak up. We won't have a voice on the television stations typically, and so we've got to do a grassroots effort. And I'm thankful to hear that there are many people who are out there preaching the gospel in the open air like they used to years ago in our country. We need to do it again. We need to not be fearful. The Bible tells us that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Fear has torment. If you be quiet, they're going to bully you. They're already trying to bully people. You might not know it in this small town here, but they're trying to bully people. That if you don't go along with the LGBTQ philosophy out there, destructive philosophy might add, then you might lose your job, or you might get demoted, or you might not get the promotion, you'll get passed because you mentioned something against the LGBTQ. Well, we need to speak up. Being quiet ain't gonna solve it. We need to speak up, and we need to have the authority of the Word of God behind us, because the Bible says that sodomy and all other sexual perversions outside of marriage is an abomination to Him, and it will warrant the wrath of God upon those who will practice those sins. And we want to tell you this, and you may be involved in that wickedness, I don't know. But the point is, if you don't come to terms with that sin, if you don't confess that sin as God sees it, if you don't turn away from that sin and believe on Jesus Christ, thou shalt be condemned instead of saved, instead of delivered, instead of rescued from that very sin. Now, we don't want to, but throw our nose up in the air because we might think that we're better than somebody else who's a sodomite. Because we're nothing better in terms of we're all sinners. We all have to repent. We all have to turn away from our sins. And this may sound old-fashioned and blah, 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 blah. But it's the Word of God. It's the power of the Word. And we got to speak up and not be ashamed. Part of the judgment on our country is that people who name the name of Christ are not doing what Christ said to do. And so God is punishing our land because Christians aren't living the life. They're not living the life. They're not speaking up. They're not sharing the gospel. They're not being bold. They're not showing the love of Jesus Christ. So we can't keep pointing our fingers at the sinners. Well, after all, they don't know any better. They're sinners. But we as believers need to speak up, speak the truth, and speak the truth in love. But we got to speak up. We cannot be cowardly. We cannot be uncaring by keeping our mouths shut. We got to speak up and tell the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and live it and spread it around. Because that is the only hope for our country. Tell your people at work. Tell your family. Live it at your work. Live it amongst your members and your friends and acquaintances. Otherwise, you're not doing what Jesus said to do. And that's what we've been called to do. Is to let the gospel be known. Jesus said to go you into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to condemn. We're not here to condemn. God does that toward sinners. If you won't believe on Jesus Christ, you're condemned already because you don't believe. But do you believe in Jesus Christ? That's the key. Now how do you know? How do you know you believe? You know, demons even believe and tremble, the Bible tells us. But recognize also that there is such a thing as damning faith. That is to say, people who believe, like demons, they believe, but they don't have the kind of belief that saves people. That is, it produces a love for Christ. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. So if believing on Jesus hasn't transformed your life, you have a damning faith, not a saving faith, according to the Bible. I mean, can you imagine, oh, I believe in Jesus, and then you live exceedingly sinful lives and care nothing for God, then that's just nothing but a lie. You can say, oh, I believe in airplanes, and these airplanes can take me from point A to point B. And yet, if you never get on it, you really don't believe in it. And you know, if you have to go a long distance and you refuse to fly, you don't really believe in the airplane to get you from point A to point B. So if you don't live the life as a believer, you don't really believe on Jesus in a saving fashion. That's something that is sadly missing in houses of worship today. Because what are people doing? They're hearing something, funny stories, soft fuzzies. You don't hear about sin and about the need of repentance and the way, and to live a holy life and dying to self. You don't hear that typically in our culture today, even in small town America here. And that's where the problems is. It's the problems of our country. And from what I understand and talking to people around here, that some of the troubles of our country have even come here. With the LGBTQ is coming here. Well, you just wait. It's going to keep coming unless we stand up and speak up. And you say, well, as long as it don't affect me, eventually it's going to affect us, people. So stand up. Yes, we got an election, but an election, everything going well and having the conservative people in our positions of government, that's not the total solution. The real solution is believing on Jesus and living like Jesus would have us to live. And that's what I want for you. To go out, step out by faith. Don't worry about the ridicule that the world might give you. Don't worry about what other people think about it. What you need to be concerned about is God. Think about what you're doing or not doing. Because other people are not going to judge you. God's going to judge you. And so we need to be concerned about our Creator and his stance and his position upon the way that we live our life day in and day out. Is our purpose in life to want to glorify God and enjoy him forever? Is that your purpose? Is that what you live for? Is that what you die for? Because that's what makes a true believer. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of talk. Can you lay your life down on the line? Are you willing to do that? That's being a true believer. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of talk. We need to be able to love enough to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, irregardless of what kind of persecution and ridicule that we might receive. Out of law. Look at what about Jesus? Jesus laid down his life. He laid down his life for a sorry sinner like me and anybody else that would believe on him. So he's willing to do that. The Bible says, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, that you were to lay down our bodies a living sacrifice that's wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's reasonable considering what Jesus has done for us. So again, share the gospel of Christ. It's worth it. We don't know. You plant the seed, God will give the increase or he won't. But that doesn't matter. Jeremiah, nobody listened to him. Noah, just his family listened to him. And we're to say what needs to be said. I do it, sir.
How's it going?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing good. How about you?
Oh, blessed beyond measure.
Yeah?
You preach?
Yes, I am.
Amen. I just wanted to back you, brother.
Well, praise God.
Amen. I'm pastor of Yallo Hill Baptist Church. I seen you preaching. I figured I'd some scholar.
Hey, well, I love it. I love it.
Amen.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming out here. So, and I encourage you to just do the same.
Amen.
To tell people, because I know open air preaching is not something that's in vogue today, but it used to be.
That's right.
You know, and we may have a very small window opportunity.
That's right.
To tell people about Jesus Christ. But you can look on that website we got there. And it'll tell you, you know, I got about 700 sermons on there. I'm from over here in Rural Hall, if you know where that is. Way over there, just north of Winston-Salem. Yeah, I just been taking a notion to want to come up here. I don't know why exactly. But I come up here about twice a week. Yeah, so I just...
Lord pressed it upon me. I've been up in Ashe County preaching on the sidewalks and stuff.
Have you?
Yeah, I seen you preaching. I was like, all right. Praise God, I'll back you.
All right.
I ain't never had nobody stopping back me, but I thought, boy, seems like you're all alone sometimes. It's good to know.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'll just keep on preaching then.
Amen.
All right. Good to have a fellow preacher here. Who's here to back me up and be supportive, and what a blessing that is. But the main thing is that attention needs to be on Jesus Christ. You know, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he came into the world to give us life and give it more abundantly. He came. He is the life. Not only is he the source of all life, he is life. And he not only is, there's not only a way to heaven, he is the way to heaven. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, it says there in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It's the only way. Now that sounds very, very exclusive. And some people might think a little narrow, but Jesus said, wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And so, Jesus is the way. Well, how could he say that he is the way? Because he is the only one who has fulfilled the Old Testament. The Old Testament sacrifices, he fulfilled them. He fulfilled the entirety of the moral law in that he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And so he qualified to be the spotless Lamb of God without blemish, because John the Baptist, that's why he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He came because he fulfilled those sacrifices. He qualified in that he fulfilled all those sacrifices, in that he laid down his life. His blood was shed just like the Passover lamb. That death had to happen on the behalf of others. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't die because of his own sin, because he had no sin. But he died as a sacrifice and as a substitute for everyone that would believe on him. Everyone who would just simply trust in him and him alone to save them from their sins. Have you ever come to that point to where you in total abandon, you believe on Jesus, you trust him with your very heart and your very soul and every part and parcel of your being? Do you believe on this Jesus, the one who is God the Son, the one who made the necessary, met the necessary requirements to fulfill all of the law, in that he
He had fulfilled every jot and tittle that was necessary. That's why he could say on the cross, "It is finished." It's not like Old Testament high priest. He had to come continually year by year, but the great high priest who became the sacrifice necessary to give eternal life, he could say, "It is finished, it is eternally done. Salvation has been wrought for all who would believe on him." And I encourage you that he is not only the way, and he's not only the life, but he's the truth. He's the truth. Not a truth that'll come and go, but in every way, he is the truth. So that everything else is measured up against Jesus Christ. If any way that it contradicts and there is disharmony with what he said and what he did, it's a lie. That's why Jesus is the truth, and that is why it's so critical that you don't try to save yourself from your sins. You don't have, doing religious deeds won't save you from your sin, because the Bible tells us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done there in Titus 3, verse 5. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Not by works of righteousness. By grace are you saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, that not of yourselves, it's not of works. It's a gift of God. It's all grace. But the amazing thing about this grace, it's saving grace. In other words, not only saves the soul, but it saves us from sinful lifestyles. When somebody receives Jesus as their Savior, they automatically receive Him as Lord. In other words, when you've been saved, praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." In other words, I'm not living the life I used to live before God saved me. Praise God, by His grace and by His grace alone. That's the kind of saving God does. And if you have any other quote-unquote salvation that doesn't transform your life, you need to get rid of it. And you need to turn to Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that can give you not only eternal life, but give you a life that is transforming, that changes you altogether. When Jesus made that promise, and He made that promise that He gives life and He gives it more abundantly, He comes through on His promise. He's not like some politicians who don't follow through with their promise. He's not even who we might make a New Year's resolution and a promise to ourselves, and we end up not following through with it. But Jesus always follows through with His promise. Because I've seen people who were once alcoholics that are no longer alcoholics anymore because of Jesus Christ. Not because of some rehab place. Not because of AA. But because of Jesus Christ. And I've known people who were once drug addicts who are no longer drug addicts because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. His power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that gospel is defined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That Jesus died and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He did everything necessary to be the Savior of everyone who would believe on Him. And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. But if you have, let us as Americans and as Christians live the life for the sake of our country, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our grandchildren, for the sake of the future of this land. We need to live the life like we never have before, because I'm telling you, if we don't, it is sure that judgment is going to come upon this country. May God have mercy upon us. But He will not have mercy as long as we sin with a high hand against God. I plead with you to seriously consider that. Don't just keep on doing what you always done, but you might grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ to step out by faith and not be bullied by the liberal media, not be bullied by false religion such as Mohammedism. But we need to speak up now, not with a chip on our shoulder, but out of a love for those who even are our enemies. After all, Jesus loved so much that He died for His enemies. And so we need to be willing to give of ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, I've been a believer for almost 35 years. And I have not regretted it one single bit at any time in our life. Humanly speaking, I could go back and be a party animal and do everything that the world does. But I find out that it's nothing but a bunch of hype. It has nothing but bad side effects. Well, I tell you what, Jesus has only good side effects. He gives the fruit of the Spirit, that love and that joy and that peace and that long-suffering and that gentleness and kindness. That's what Jesus does for a person's life. And doesn't have to deal with these side effects of sin. Sin, the consequences of sin is death. But also, we note that God does bring judgment. If you recall back in the Old Testament, we see that Israel and Judah, they were judged because of their sin. Now, we're talking about a nation that was the Lord. Our nation doesn't have that kind of designation and distinction like Israel did. And so, what makes us think that we are immune from the judgment of God? And we've seen that in the Roman Empire. Look down through history. They say those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it. And I believe that with all my heart. But God will bring judgment upon our land if we don't turn from our sins. And I know that's not a popular thing to say, but it is the truth. I mean, if we keep on doing wrong, do you think God's going to reward that? Of course not. How can we know what God says? Well, He's graciously and miraculously preserved His Word for us. Even though people have been trying to get rid of it, and even though people have been trying to despise it, and even though they've been trying to do all kinds of things like these perverted translations today, there's so-called modern translations, they're trying everything that they can. But God has continued in His miraculous way, in His gracious way, to preserve His Word so you can know. You can know. We got Bibles coming in our ears in this country. What a blessing. And there are people in third world countries that I've been to there in Dominican Republic and other places where they don't have Bibles. And they are coming in droves. They want a Bible. And they're thankful for a Bible. They don't have anything but dirt floors and barely have enough to eat. But they want their Bibles. And yet we got them and we could care less. Think about that. It just doesn't make sense. Don't worry about what other people think. They're not going to judge you when you die. They're not going to judge you. God's the one that's going to judge. He has the right to judge. He's the Creator. Don't worry about the ridicule and the persecution and all that kind of stuff. Because what's really worthwhile is that we make an impact, a positive difference in people's lives. If you remember the Apostle Paul was imprisoned for his faith. And he said while he was in prison that many of them were more bold to speak because he was persecuted even unto imprisonment. And I believe that when I see somebody stand up for the Lord and do something for God in the name of Jesus Christ, whether it be in a public setting or whether it be in more of a private setting, it encourages my heart. And so that's what we can do. If nothing else, we can encourage others to do the same, to stand united in love for our country, in love for our families, in love for our churches, in love to God. Because we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And the greatest way that we can show that love is to spread that gospel and bring glory to God that Jesus is the only one. He is God's only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Investigate it. You know, the sad thing, maybe in this community, I don't know, the sad thing is that so many people just believe something because grandpa said that you're supposed to believe in it, or because mom and dad said believe in it. Look at it for yourself. Believe it for yourself. But don't just diss and snub your nose at the gospel of Christ unless you've done your research, unless you've seen for yourself. Paul told the church there at Thessalonica that the Bereans were more noble than them because they searched the scriptures whether what the apostle Paul was saying was so or not, whether it was true or not, whether it was according to the scriptures or not. You might go to church. Are you checking out your pastor? What is he preaching? Is he preaching the word or not? And if he's a good pastor, he's not going to mind you asking questions about what he says. And if he has a problem with it, you need to go somewhere else. You need to go where the Bible is respected and revered and held up and preached. All the whole counsel of God. Not just little pet doctrines that people might want to bring out, or things that will make people happy, or something that will only bring in the money or keep the problems down. Need to preach the truth and leave the results with God. That's a God-called preacher. Not somebody who's worried about what everybody else is thinking. If they're called of God, they're going to do what God says regardless. And that's what we need in our land today. May God help you and bless you to see this truth, to be able to know the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, out of love for your soul. Now, you might not like my preaching style, or whatever the case might be. I'm sorry, I am who I am. I'm not going to change who I am. But it's out of love for the souls of a fellow human being that I tell you this message, to turn from your sins or hell's going to be your eternal abode. Turn to Jesus and believe on Him and what He did at the cross to pay the penalty for sin, and you will be saved. The Bible promises. May God bless you is my prayer.
Well, that's...